In today's frenzied corporate landscape, the word urgent has lost its meaning. Every email, meeting request, and task seems to demand immediate attention, creating a perpetual state of reactivity that leaves us exhausted and ineffective. Dermot Crowley's Urgent arrives as a timely antidote to this modern affliction. Since its publication, the book has become a staple on the desks of Fortune 500 executives and has been praised by productivity experts like Tim Ferriss as the thinking person's guide to reclaiming your time. Even Arianna Huffington, who famously collapsed from exhaustion before founding Thrive Global, recommends it as essential reading for anyone feeling overwhelmed by workplace demands. What makes this book particularly relevant today is how it challenges our cultural glorification of busyness while offering practical strategies to distinguish between productive urgency that creates momentum and the unproductive kind that merely creates stress. Comparing today's frantic work pace to his father's measured career as an accountant in 1970s Ireland, Crowley identifies technology as the primary driver of increased urgency. His father worked 9 to 5 with lunch breaks and a clear desk at day's end, a scenario unimaginable for today's executives. Technology has fundamentally altered workplace cultures through instant communication, global connectivity, constant accessibility, expectations of immediate gratification, rapid public scrutiny, and compressed development cycles. This technological acceleration has created what Crowley calls the urgency trap, working with either too much or too little urgency instead of applying just the right amount purposefully. He identifies 3 operational zones: reactive, active, and inactive. The reactive zone becomes problematic when urgency is both acute, intense, and chronic, prolonged, leading to stress and burnout. The inactive zone is where little happens, where we coast, procrastinate, or escape when burned out. The active zone is the Goldilocks zone, not too reactive, not too inactive, where the best work happens with just enough urgency to create momentum without overwhelming stress. Most workplaces today are driven by urgency that's often unnecessary and unproductive. This prevalent urgency increases activity and stress levels without necessarily improving results, becoming so normalized that we fail to recognize when it takes over. At the individual level, unproductive urgency comes from procrastination and reactive work styles. At the team level, from managers failing to protect teams, and at the organizational level, from leaders permitting or driving urgency culture. Rather than creating a sense of urgency, we often create senseless urgency. The costs are significant but often unrecognized. We waste time chasing our tails and jumping between urgent issues without being truly effective. This reactive pattern increases mistakes, wastes resources, and creates missed opportunities. Workplace anxiety affects 40% of Americans during their workday, with 72% reporting it impacts both their work and personal lives. Quality suffers when we either react blindly to incoming urgency or leave things until the last minute. Most critically, we lose time to think. A KPMG survey found 86% of global leaders struggle to find time to think about disruption and innovation. The author identifies 8 character types who create workplace urgency: the reactor, constantly responding to emails and falling behind on priorities; the conductor, a manager who fails to push back against unreasonable demands; the overcommitter, promising immediate delivery without planning; the last-minute delegator, postponing decisions until being chased; the distractor, a leader whose random ideas create unnecessary work; the hard driver, piling new priorities onto old ones; the procrastinator, avoiding complex work until it becomes urgent; and the boy who cried wolf, falsely labeling everything as urgent. These archetypes help us recognize problematic behaviors in ourselves and others. While these characters have good intentions, their behaviors create unproductive urgency that affects everyone's productivity and well-being. Recognizing these patterns is the first step toward addressing the problem, whether it stems from personal work style, environment, or both. To identify unproductive urgency in your own work life, look for tells in your workplace, unconscious behaviors that signal reactivity. Consider whether urgency appears as first-minute behavior, immediate reactions, or last-minute behavior, deadline pressure, and whether it's pressed upon you by others or self-inflicted. First-minute urgency pressed upon us includes intrusions that force immediate reactions and disrupt planned work. Research suggests even momentary interruptions can take up to 20 minutes to recover from. Last-minute urgency pressed upon us occurs when others' reactive behaviors impact our productivity by passing their last-minute urgency onto us. Self-inflicted first-minute urgency stems from reactive work styles where we mindlessly respond to non-critical inputs, often from a desire to please others or feel in control. Self-inflicted last-minute urgency involves tasks we only address when they're approaching or past deadline, another self-created problem often related to poor organizational systems. Creating a truly proactive work style requires both a proactive mindset, how we think about work, and a proactive system, how we manage work. When combined, these elements create a work style that improves not just our productivity, but also how others perceive our professional brand. Crowley shares 7 mindset principles that can transform how we approach work. Mindset number 1, I plan ahead. Failing to plan truly is planning to fail. Despite participating in organizational planning, many of us fail to link these big-picture plans with our day-to-day schedules, claiming we're too busy, a false economy. Develop a personal planning routine. 10 minutes of daily planning each morning, 45 minutes of weekly planning, and 1 hour of monthly planning for perspective. Mindset number 2, I am responsive, not reactive. Being responsive differs dramatically from being reactive. People with responsive mindsets are measured and organized, dealing with things in a timely way rather than treating everything with equal urgency. They prioritize effectively, handle truly urgent matters promptly, and aren't afraid to negotiate when necessary. Mindset number 3, I pay it forward. This mindset involves thinking beyond your own needs to consider colleagues' current and future requirements. It means working in ways that make life easier for others, like replacing the toilet paper roll when finished rather than leaving an empty cardboard tube for the next person. Mindset number 4, I do it right the first time. How much workplace time is wasted through rushed mistakes and unnecessary rework? The builder's adage, measure twice, cut once, reminds us that slowing down actually saves time in the long run. Sometimes we need to work mindfully, slowing down to ultimately speed up. Mindset number 5, I prioritize by importance, not urgency. Many of us approach work with primitive instincts, gravitating toward what we want to do rather than what matters most. People who consistently prioritize importance over urgency don't just survive, they thrive. Mindset number 6, I minimize procrastination. Without external pressure, procrastination thrives. Highly effective people create urgency for themselves when something is important but lacks external pressure. Mindset number 7, I think several steps ahead. Using soccer as an analogy, Crowley describes 5 levels of receiving the ball that parallel workplace responsiveness. From level 1, missing things completely, to level 5, anticipating future possibilities. As we move up these levels, we invest more time assessing situations, enabling better decisions even under pressure. Once we've developed a proactive mindset, we need supporting systems to reduce friction that leads to reactive behaviors. Just as in football, where the best system often beats the best team, our organizational systems either help us work proactively or force us into reactivity. To transform your productivity system into a more proactive platform, implement these 5 recommendations. 1. Use one central system for actions. Combine meetings and tasks in one view using tools like MS Outlook or Gmail to create holistic visibility of your workload. 2. Manage activities by time. Schedule priorities proactively in the proactive zone rather than doing everything immediately or at the last minute. Focus on start dates rather than just due dates. 3. Highlight 3 critical priorities daily. Consider both importance and urgency, importance times urgency equals criticality, when determining your focus. 4. Balance your time. Set caps on meeting time to protect space for priorities. One manager reduced meeting time from 80% to 60% and suddenly had more time for actual work. 5. Turn off email alerts. Eliminate distractions by disabling notifications and establish alternative communication channels for truly urgent matters. Implementing a new productivity system requires at least 4 weeks of concerted effort before it becomes comfortable and beneficial. The key is consistency, sticking with the system long enough to experience its benefits rather than abandoning it when it feels uncomfortable or unfamiliar. When we apply urgency pressure to work, it becomes a constraint that affects other aspects of the deliverable. Using the project management concept of the triple constraint, traditionally time, cost, and scope, we can understand how adjusting one variable impacts the others. Sometimes moderating urgency by adjusting constraints produces better outcomes, particularly when teams are facing burnout or quality issues. To moderate urgency effectively, managers can adjust 6 interdependent dials like knobs on an amplifier, each offering various degrees of flexibility. 1. Time, sooner or later. The main constraint affecting urgency, which can be negotiated when necessary. For example, breaking a large project into phases with staggered deadlines, or identifying which components truly need immediate delivery versus those that can wait. Consider whether a deadline is market-driven, regulatory, or merely preferential. 2. Quality, better or worse. Determining what good enough looks like rather than pursuing perfection. This might mean launching with a minimum viable product, MVP, and iterating later, or prioritizing essential features while deferring nice-to-have elements. Quality standards should be explicitly defined and agreed upon early. 3. Scope, increased, reduced. Adjusting deliverables to manage workload and pressure. This could involve breaking features into must-haves versus nice-to-haves, or identifying which requirements deliver the most value. Smart scope reduction often yields better results than trying to do everything under extreme time pressure. 4. Resources, less, more. Allocating people strategically, using techniques like swarming to overcome bottlenecks. This might include temporary team reassignments, bringing in external expertise, or utilizing cross-functional teams. Remember that adding resources doesn't always speed things up. Brooks's law warns that adding people to a late project makes it later. 5. Budget, small, big. Using financial flexibility to solve time constraints when appropriate. This could mean approving overtime, hiring contractors, or investing in tools and automation to speed up work. Consider the long-term cost implications versus short-term gains. 6. Risk, low, high. Understanding risk appetite and adjusting processes accordingly. This includes evaluating technical debt, security implications, and potential market impacts. Some situations warrant higher risk tolerance, while others require more conservative approaches. These dials aren't binary on-off switches, but controls with various settings that can be fine-tuned based on circumstances. The key is understanding their interdependencies. Adjusting one usually affects others. For instance, reducing time often requires either increasing resources or reducing scope. When negotiating urgency with stakeholders, it's crucial to understand their absolute non-negotiable constraints and underlying motivations. Some stakeholders prioritize deadlines above all else, while others might be more concerned with cost or quality. By asking direct questions about what matters most to each stakeholder, what's driving this deadline, or which features are absolutely critical, you gain valuable context that helps your team make better decisions. Successful urgency negotiation often involves presenting multiple scenarios with different dial settings, clearly showing the trade-offs involved. For example, demonstrating how a 2-week deadline extension could significantly improve quality or reduce risk can help stakeholders make more informed decisions about their true priorities. Teams operate in 3 zones of urgency: the productive active zone, the problematic reactive zone, and the sluggish inactive zone. A manager's role is to keep the team in the active zone through constant adjustments, turning urgency down when it becomes unproductive and turning it up when needed for traction on critical work. Crowley introduces a framework for moderating urgency that provides practical strategies for dealing with urgency regardless of its source, considering both whether urgency needs to be increased or decreased and whether it's being driven externally or internally. 1. Respond. When truly urgent, reasonable work comes in that should be dealt with promptly, the key is to resist reacting and instead respond in a measured way. This requires awareness and a clear head, such as when producing a report requested by senior management for a regulatory investigation, something that couldn't have been planned for but requires immediate attention. 2. Absorb. When facing unproductive urgency driven by external factors or poor planning by others, managers must absorb this urgency rather than letting it create problems for their team. This involves negotiating, asking probing questions, and taking an active stance against unreasonable demands. 3. Mobilize. Sometimes managers need to drive urgency themselves to create traction or momentum on important projects. This hot mobilization language must be used purposefully and clearly to rally the team behind initiatives that need focus to meet objectives. 4. Diffuse. When unproductive urgency develops within the team itself, managers must diffuse it, essentially throwing water on the fire rather than lighting one. This applies when team members have become so accustomed to urgent requests that they make everything urgent, equating productivity with reactive busyness rather than focused work on true priorities. Like rugby's crouch, bind, set commands that slow down dangerous scrums, we need a systematic process to move from reactive to responsive mode. This transition involves 4 critical steps to create mental space for thoughtful decision-making. 1. Pause. Recognize the potential reaction moment and take a deliberate breath. 2. Evaluate. Understand what's being requested, why it matters, and its broader context. 3. Prioritize. Carefully consider opportunity costs against current work and team capacity. And 4. Decide. Determine the best course of action based on all available information. When facing apparent urgency, we must rigorously test both our own assumptions and those of the request originator. We often react to incoming work assuming it's urgent when it's merely important or even routine. This is especially common with requests from superiors, where hierarchy can create artificial pressure. For instance, a manager's casual "when you get a chance" request often gets mentally translated into "drop everything." Without explicit deadlines, we tend to make erroneous assumptions based on perceived importance rather than actual urgency. The solution is straightforward, but often overlooked. Simply clarify when something is genuinely needed. The language we use fundamentally sets the tone for how teams handle urgency and shapes organizational culture. While project managers use terms like ASAP, as soon as possible, with specific technical meanings in scheduling, in everyday work, ASAP has become reflexive shorthand for urgent. This creates unnecessary stress and disrupts workflow. Crowley proposes a more nuanced third option, ASAR, as soon as reasonable. Unlike ASAP, which suggests dropping everything immediately, ASAR implies thoughtfully blending new work with existing priorities, similar to how a zipper merging system smoothly combines 2 lanes of traffic rather than cars aggressively pushing their way in. Some situations genuinely require immediate reaction: natural disasters, system outages, or true emergencies. We'll never eliminate this category of urgency completely. However, the advantage of working proactively and maintaining clear priorities is having flexibility when true urgency strikes. Teams that normally operate in a measured, thoughtful way build credibility capital. Others are more understanding and forgiving when you need to reschedule or reprioritize if they know it's not your standard operating procedure. This creates a virtuous cycle where thoughtful responses become the norm rather than the exception. The key is developing organizational muscle memory for responding rather than reacting. This means establishing clear protocols for handling incoming requests, setting explicit expectations about response times, and creating a culture where thoughtful prioritization is valued over knee-jerk reactions. Regular practice of these principles helps teams maintain composure under pressure and make better decisions even in high-stakes situations. A manager's responsibility includes protecting their team from unnecessary urgency by acting as a shock absorber for demands coming from stakeholders, senior management, and clients. While many see managers as conductors of urgency, this often leads to senseless urgency rather than a genuine sense of urgency. Your job is to evaluate whether the urgency is real and reasonable before passing it along. Develop the habit of questioning why something is urgent rather than immediately diverting your team. Force the other party to justify the urgency. When you consistently question urgency in a firm but polite way, people won't see you as difficult, but as someone focused on what's important who won't waste time. The urgency dials discussed earlier can be used to negotiate urgency at the team level. Effective negotiation requires visibility of team priorities, which means having a central place where all major priorities are captured. Web-based project tools can make priorities visible across the team, showing deadlines, assignments, and progress. This visibility allows for open conversations about deadlines and necessary negotiations. Time is our most limited resource, and we're constantly overcommitted. Every yes to something unimportant means saying no to something critical. When you need to refocus your team's efforts, reconnect them with their bigger yes, the priorities they should actually be working on. Have them review their performance plans, goals documents, or quarterly objectives. When priorities are clear, evaluating incoming urgent work becomes much easier. When urgency needs to be internally driven rather than defended against, managers must mobilize their teams to create productive momentum. This is particularly important for long-term projects where people might procrastinate because deadlines seem distant. The term deadline has evolved from its Civil War origins, a line prisoners couldn't cross without being shot, to represent time constraints in modern workplaces. Deadlines can be hard, non-negotiable, or soft, aspirational. And when used properly, they create necessary urgency. Like real estate auctions that force buyers to act by a specific date, deadlines mobilize action. However, they must be used purposefully. False or excessive deadlines push people into reactivity. Unlike military leaders of the past who commanded unquestioning obedience, modern workplace leaders must provide context. In corporate settings, where lives aren't at stake, people need to understand the why before committing to stressful deadlines. Nobody wants to waste time on an urgent report they suspect will go unread. Complex tasks like presentations, reports, or budgets require a different approach than simple tasks, as they're more prone to procrastination. Every task has three stages: deadline, planning, and execution. For complex work, Crowley recommends a three-step strategy. First, make the deadline visible in calendars as an all-day event shared between manager and team member. Second, create a thumbnail sketch, a quick 20-minute brainstorm to outline components and scope. Finally, block out protected execution time well ahead of the deadline, allowing buffer for inevitable delays. Sometimes we get caught in an urgency loop, frenzied activity where everything seems more pressing than it actually is. We react unnecessarily, drop balls on other priorities which then become urgent, creating a downward spiral. This can happen to individuals, teams, or entire organizations. As a leader, you must diffuse these urgency loops and reinstate order. Paramedics always walk, never run, into emergency scenes. This gives them time to assess the situation holistically and communicates calm leadership in charge situations. As managers, we must embody this same purposeful calm to create a culture biased toward proactivity. Great leaders somehow always have time for their people, regardless of how busy they are. You cannot expect your team to work proactively if you're the one creating reactivity with last-minute demands. Ron Heifetz and Marty Linsky describe the crucial leadership skill of getting off the dance floor and going to the balcony, stepping back mentally while still in action to ask, what's really going on here? This mindfulness practice helps you see beyond surface tensions to underlying issues, like recognizing when team conflicts stem from project pressures rather than the immediate discussion topic. Consider what behaviors you unconsciously reward. Do you secretly admire instant email replies? Get annoyed when someone declines your last-minute meeting? You may be confusing reactivity with responsiveness, negotiation with insubordination, or moderation with incompetence. Rewarding reactivity creates a reactive culture. Remember that culture is simply a set of group behaviors. Reward proactivity instead. Calvin Coolidge said, "We cannot do everything at once, but we can do something at once." While this book sets a broad agenda for change in personal behaviors and team culture, you can't do everything immediately. Start with small steps. Begin by examining your approach to urgency. Are you naturally reactive? Do you tell yourself stories justifying your reactivity? Get clear on why making these changes will benefit you. A powerful why will carry you through difficult moments. First steps might include reviewing your planning systems, scheduling regular planning time, reducing email and social media addiction, becoming more mindful of your behaviors, discussing your work style with your team, and scheduling progress reviews every 3 months. After working on yourself, look to your team. As a manager, you can directly influence team culture around urgency. Even without formal authority, you can lead by example and influence through demonstrated good behaviors. Start by raising urgency management at your next team meeting. Share how you'll work differently moving forward. Introduce the urgency playbook for a 3-month trial. Protect your team from unproductive urgency and openly discuss when urgency is necessary. For people leaders, the conversation about urgency should extend to the leadership team. Creating a more proactive organizational culture requires true cultural change, which demands leadership commitment and resources. This means prioritizing the issue despite competing demands. Start by putting urgency on the leadership team agenda, mobilizing internal champions, assessing whether key stakeholders are part of the problem or solution, discussing urgency culture at company gatherings, modeling exemplary behaviors, and rewarding the right behaviors. While we'll never eliminate urgency completely, nor should we can tame it and reduce unproductive urgency in our workplaces. The difference between organizations that thrive and those that merely survive often comes down to their relationship with urgency, whether they use it as a strategic tool or allow it to become a toxic default. By understanding the difference between productive and unproductive urgency, developing proactive mindsets and systems, and implementing the right strategies at individual and team levels, we can create workplaces where urgency serves us rather than controls us.